Right, guys, welcome
right,
back
guys,
to our
right,
show.
Right, guys, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa salamu alaikum, guys. Welcome back to our show, another episode.
Let's have this conversation.
Where we keep things at real, how it is.
How it is. I hope you listeners are well. I hope you guys enjoyed the last podcast and your reviews and whatnot. We'll be looking forward to it. And yes, my friend Hassan, it's been a while the last few
it's
days.
It's been a right? while, bro. It's been a while. I think the last few days, you know.
Yes, coronavirus, it has been a bit of a trouble lately, hasn't it?
And you know, it's been a lot of trouble around the world. You know, we hear a lot of cases in terms of, you know, a lot of numbers, people are dying and whatnot. But the positive thing is that, you know, there's a lot of recovery than the death rate.
Yes, indeed, I would agree with that. There is a positivity to this. There are some nations who are claiming the recovery from this. But this whole thing, listeners as well, let me just put it out there. I mean, let's have this conversation, okay? Think about it. What do you say, Hassan?
When it first came out, it was like a scary movie, Abdul, I think.
Okay.
We all thought, like, you know, the whole world was about to die.
Out of 28 days later.
And the media were really, you know, on the case of people dying, numbers rising,
okay.
Epidemic. You know, there were code names that were thrown to us by the media.
Yes, there were. There was actually, SARS. There was SARS, 1 or 2 and 3 and 4, they were saying.
And you know, to be frank, you know, SARS was actually more scarier than COVID-19
itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
SARS, you had spots.
Okay.
You had some crazy spots all over your body. You get the high influenza flu. I mean, SARS was something else. But when the big bad boogie, COVID-19,
yes,
came into the show, I think, you know, a lot of people were surprised.
Yeah, we were surprised. I mean, come on, man. All you listeners out there felt the wave. And this thing, I mean, really, you blame China, you blame America, you blame... And the funny... What kills me is the remedy, the so-called remedy for temporary remedy is... Wash your hands.
And you know,
what were we doing before washing our hands? What were we doing before COVID-19?
We do that 5 times a day. We do that 5 times a day. We pray 5 times a day. We wash our hands 5 times a day.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I'm sure, think about it. I'm sure you guys washed your hands already before the COVID-19 stroke. And you washed your hands probably 5 times a day for those that understand that, you know?
But I think, like, Abdul, I think what really hit me home personally, you know, this COVID-19, it felt like first it started out in China and then gradually, you know, the media, we hear it at the back of our head, COVID-19 is coming or it may be coming. You know, we gradually knew that something was about to hit our shores, but we never really expected it to hit the way it suddenly hit us.
Yes, I'm after the op. Yes, I do agree with that. So I was saying, what I agreed on was the idea that, yes, this was portrayed a while back and people spoke about it and people projected that there's going to be a virus upcoming. Even President Obama spoke about it. So, I mean, for the layman, they didn't really pay attention to the science. So there was science.
That COVID-19 was coming.
On its way, that this thing was coming. There was a virus on the way. I mean... This thing, yes, it hit us like a tsunami at the end of the day, you know? So, what can I say? Everybody reacted.
You know, I was reading a BBC article this week it hit. For the viewers, I'm going to show Abdul the picture and then I'm going to get his feedback. So, I just showed Abdul.
Having viewed that was extremely impressive. I am not going to... That was impressive. I mean... Speaking about how the death rates are very low in Africa, and BBC has many reports you've just shown me. That was like 5 different reports, and they were all explaining how Africa's poverty managed to withstand and beat the coronavirus, while places like in the first world, they call it, in Europe, and they're struggling, in America.
You know, and I think, Hata, if we, you know, examine... If we come examine the climate issues, you know, I think that COVID-19 I think personally, when I read a lot of research in terms of the scientific and whatnot, COVID-19 cannot survive in a hot climate. This is what they say. There's a lot of death tolls in Emirates, but you know, if we go into that as well, you know, COVID-19 impacts the diet. You know, if you have a very bad diet, or you have a weak immune system, or you even have diabetes, COVID-19 will give you a much more harsher impact than to other people. So, and you know, we do read the demographics in terms of, we have all the media and whatnot, and we see that, you know, in the regions that you mentioned, you know, health-wise, you know, they can do better than exercising and whatnot and things like that.
No, they can. And like I said before, I'm impressed. So viva Africa, because when I say Europeans, what I'm specifically speaking about is the colonial. They are trying to do all they can to dehumanize, destabilize, break the African bone. I mean, when those scientists, those French scientists, I don't know, you might have come across this clip, the French scientist which was speaking about experimenting a vaccine, yes, on the African continent.
Sure.
That was shocking. I mean, that was sad, very sad. And now, the Africa's got the lowest death rates. I mean, it all comes down to one thing, listeners. I mean, you know, and seeing all these... you can't really rely on the internet for a lot of things, but they're showing up all these videos and articles popping up saying stay at home and do this and do that. I believe personally, the way I see things are going, and having been from Mogadishu, experiencing Mogadishu for the past couple of years, they are trying to militarize. This is military tactics, curfews. Next thing from curfews will be stay in line. You know, from the line will be take orders. I think, anyway, that's my opinion.
There's a militarization police state that's on its way.
National policing on the way.
Yeah, I mean...
And he explains to you how the situation that America's going through with all this racial discrimination and justice, prejudice, whatever that's going on over there. So, how they trying to lock down peaceful protests with, you know, again, militarization.
I think there's an identity war going on in terms of, like, you know, we've been...
I wouldn't say identity.
Let me explain. I think in terms of what I mean by that is that in the liberal media, you know, people are subjected into groups. So, for example, you are a Muslim, or you are an African, or you are that race or that ethnicity. But I mean, for example, Africa is a huge land, and there are many tribes within Africa. Africa is not a state. Africa, it's a region. It has a lot of ethnicities within Africa. So what I mean by, you know, this whole idea of this mass propaganda, whatnot, of grouping people.
The world is changing rapidly. It is, socially, economically, and on all levels of aspects of life. Again, this coronavirus starts it all off, doesn't it?
Yeah, big time.
And then with the militarization, and then what's next? The vaccine with the RFID chips in it. And then what's next?
You know, coming back to the COVID-19 in Somalia, I think there was a documentary that Jamal Osman done on YouTube. I don't know if you have seen it or any of the viewers. So what he talks about is that, you know, they take a camera, typical journalism nowadays, they take the camera and then they point at gravestones. And, you know, they say Somalia is hiding the death rate of the COVID-19. So what they justify is by pointing at tombstones. Now, a lot of comments from the people, viewers, you know, viewers in Somalia, they work very fast nowadays. You know, social media is very high in Somalia. Many viewers complained and said, look, those tombstones that you pointed that have been there for most like 30 years and 40 years, it does not necessarily mean that COVID-19 numbers are rising in Somalia. This does not prove that. So, you know, because if there was COVID-19, we would have heard about people dying. And if I be honest, I never heard any of my close families die of COVID-19.
Exactly. Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. Did anybody you know die? Did anybody that's close to you die? Huh? I mean, if you have a flu, it's COVID-19. I'm sorry.
And we have to, you know, think about this mystery that you know, the media, the numbers, they keep telling us numbers and numbers, you know, of deaths.
By now, I think a lot of the listeners are aware of the media is corrupt. And by now, a lot of the listeners know that the media favors, you know,
Exactly.
A really dark cult, you know. So wherever it's heading, we shall see in the future.
I mean, okay, coming back to the health in East Africa, do you think our people are prepared for any potential outbreaks in the future? Do you think that
outbreaks of what, coronavirus
or anything else that, you know,
when it comes to anything to do with biological warfares or anything like that, no country is ready. No country in the world is ready. But we've experienced physical warfare, and I think we're rising from that, and that's good. But if anything to do with biological, no, I don't think so. No country is ready for that, and this is biological. What is going on now is biological. It's even Bill Gates. I used to admire Bill Gates until I really started to see him as another, what shall I say, puppeteer. I mean, he has a lengthy talks on TEDx and a lot of these articles, and he mentions about depopulation. And his targets is Africa, where he says we depopulize through education. How do you depopulize through education? By telling someone, have two kids or three kids, educate those kids grow up and they have two or three kids.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, as Africa, it clashes with Africa.
No way, it would not work. It just doesn't work. And the funny idea is, whatever microchip he puts on this guy, by God's means, that stuff would not work. Even contraception does not work. Condom does not work.
And you know, there's a lot of case studies where they injected, you know, young young girls in the East Africa region, actually in one of our countries, and you know, it's pretty messed up to see.
It's very petty.
And this attitude towards, you know, the African community, and as Africans, you know, we're not aware that, you know, we are victims here, and we're also being pointed at for any future potential, you know, researchers. I mean, that's what we can call them. Research.
No. This place, Africa, this continent, this beautiful continent, is misunderstood. It's highly misunderstood. And the world is just starting to see it now. Yes. It does race my mind sometimes, you know. And what can you do about a system? Now, governments, they're there to govern you. What can you do about a system that plays against you? It's your opposition. It's playing against you. What can you do about that? You can't. Again, this has existed throughout time. People have governed each other through tribes. They've governed each other through towns and townships and whatever, you know. So again, how we're going to overcome this is another story. And hopefully we overcome it and the world goes back to normal. And people...
And I think, you know...
The social norm gets back.
And there's a lot of young Africans who are, you know, very updated in terms of what is going on around the world, whether it's whatever field that you can think of. And, you know, there's a lot of African youth who are also now major in doctors and engineering and whatnot. So I think, in a way, Africa can redeem itself. But when once he realizes, you know, as a that, you know, Africa, we are unique. We are not just an African. We are, you know, Africans within tribes. This is what it is. This is what the African community is. You know, you'll find light skin at the top, you'll find dark skin in the middle, and you find another light skin at the bottom. Whereas South Africa now, there's a lot of integration and marriage and whatnot. So I think
we're it's a very diverse continent, and that, like I said, is very misunderstood as well. This diversity brings culture. It brings a lot of halals and traditions, whether they are taboo to some people or not.
And it's very important that young Africans can connect with their culture, and not that to throw it away.
That was the main point last time that we were speaking about. Remember, exactly. Yeah, you know, try to stick to your roots,
exactly.
Know your language, know who you are. And, you know, I mean, I know it might not seem too important to some people.
Mm.
So, you know, what do you reckon?
I mean, it's very important to know who you are.
What?
You have to know who you are. You have to know your heritage, your culture, your background.
Like a brother, you have to understand, there's nothing wrong with knowing who you are.
Of course, there's nothing wrong with knowing. You have to know. It's part of your history.
If you don't know, you're a bastard.
That's whatever.
Okay, but I got Somaliland. The identity we took it extreme level.
I bet about.
And as a society, I don't know if you can look at it. As a society, Abdul, Somalia, if we are good, we are extremely good. If we turn bad, we turn extremely bad. There is no middle balance.
They don't have that. They don't have that. They're very strict or not. Moderate or strict?
Right? Moderate or strict.
So, Mark is speaking about identity crisis. Somalis within themselves have identity crisis.
Within ourselves, of course.
Because some say we're African, some say we are Arabs, some say we're this, some say we're that.
Like,
you know?
If you come back to the era, if you come back to the name of the Arab, Abdul, okay, if you're saying that we are Arab, if you count my name, after about 1,400, it's all Arab names. After that, it changes to Sharmake, Hersi, Gedi, Ragi. These are true original Warsame, true original Somali names.
Yeah.
Fams, so if I do not have Muhammad Abdul after 1,400 years, then that shows that I'm not an Arab.
I agree. You know, that is actually proof. Yeah. That I can count seven names, nine names.
Average person dies at the age of 70 years old, right?
Bismillah.
Right.
Yes, that's
the
generation.
Average of our
even
generation.
That's a generation, huh?
Right. So 70 times 30.
That's 30 generations.
That's 2,100 years of tarikh that I went back in a split second. 30 names, if I count that. And if the average father died at 70 years old, right? Let's just take the average 66 numbers.
Yeah.
Right. So 30 times 70, that's 2,100 years of name.
That's 30 generations.
When it reaches 1,400,
that's a couple of thousand years.
When it reaches the 1,400 of the Islamic era,
you added an extra 500, 700 on top,
which are pure Somali names.
Yes, yes.
You don't find Abdul, you don't find Muhammad, you don't find Hussein, you don't find none of these names after 1,400 years. All you find is Warsame, Kedi, Ragi, Sharmaki.
That is interesting because I'm sure, because I mean, like I said for myself, it's about 7 or 8. And then it changes. And even Hatta, funny you mentioned that. And it gets 6, it changes.
To what? Somali name?
Yeah, it changes to Somali name.
So you.
Colorful. Your grafoyo.
Something
along those lines.
Okay, now we know our names are not Arab.
So, okay, that purifies.
So we got that out. So we get to.
We are Somali, but it still doesn't show that we're African. And they were probably the original Arabs until they got diluted.
Who, the blacks that were there?
Yes,
yeah.
The dark skins.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Then they were diluted. Exactly. That's to my understanding.
Exactly.
But coming back to this, Somalis, we do share same complicity. The only maybe difference is that we do have our Afro. Our Afro is different to their Afro.
Oh, the Arabs?
Yes.
Okay.
Completely different.
Okay.
We got African Afro. Rather than, you know, an Arab Afro. When I say an Arab Afro, Arab Afro is a lot softer.
But I mean, look.
Than an actual African Afro.
But
their hair texture is nowhere near soft.
So,
it is equivalent to hard Afro. Yeah. So those are, there is no resemblance. But here, you know, we have a. That's what I was trying to say. The difference between Africa and
the
Middle East.
But if we come back to appearances of the Arab, the individual, the Arab person. I've seen a lot of Arabs, and you know, they have bigger ears than us. Really, if you look at the Arabs, they have bigger ears, they have bigger nose.
I don't know about that.
I've seen a lot.
Those could be stereotypical stuff like big nose, big ears,
not you know, big forehead. Yeah, because they're not known for that.
Somalis have big forehead. Would you reckon?
Some do. Some do, but not all. Some do.
Somalish/forehead.
I think the whole forehead is I think it's beautiful. I think for me personally, if I see a girl with a forehead,
I don't think she looks
like a typical Somali East African girl. And I think for me as well, I've accustomed to the idea that you know East African Kushuti, Somali or whatnot, they have that
forehead appearance.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Ilkas? And Ilkas, for those listeners that don't understand, it's red teeth.
Yeah.
You know, from Google the idea it. Just of Google the, it. It's red teeth.
Those people, the red
East
teeth, right?
Region, huh?
I think what I heard from them was that, I think what affected them was that the well that they were drinking from.
I heard about that as well.
And their districts the water, were impacted or whatnot. And things
but
like
then
that.
Some people also say that if you're from Hargeisa or anywhere in the north, and you're listening to this, you can clarify to us, you know, we're just speculating. So
we just want to know.
We just want to know how this was possible. So what I've come across was that as well, one, about
but
the
it
well.
Doesn't start from Hargeisa. I think it starts from Galgadud.
Galgadud. That's why it's called Galgadud.
Galgadud region, when you reach Middle States, from there, I think that's where...
All right. Okay, I don't know about Galgadud, but mainly it's the ones I've seen is either from Bur'a, Hargeisa, majority Bur'a. But my point was, I agree with the water.
I've seen Galkayo.
Galkayo.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Galkayo.
I've seen a lot.
Yeah, but the one thing Galkayo, I heard they make it. They actually
forcefully.
Yeah, they make Elan or something like that. I don't know. I've heard that. So I agree with the well thing, first of all, and the second point I was gonna make was the water. You know how it goes through pipes?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
It goes through pipes and whatnot?
Yeah.
The pipes are not plastic. Cheap.
Plastic.
They're metal. So what they do is they rust. Again, if the rust follows the water supply.